Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message version of the Bible, says everything that a person can possibly feel, experience, or say is brought into expression before God in the Psalms. But also, it's because many of the words of encouragement that have been given to me on my journey are from the Psalms. And the key thing here is I'm not going to be focusing in terms of the outcome. I'm very much focusing on the process. And Graham Cook, who's one of my heroes, talks about how there's no future without process, because it's knowing the process of our journey of transformation that is the thing that makes us rich. I wholeheartedly agree with him. And dear friends, it's my privilege to be able to talk about the journey I've been on and that process today. I've got three scriptures just really to help set the scene. Psalm 1, really, when I look at Psalm 1, it really is a wonderful picture of fruitfulness. It's a wisdom psalm. It's the introduction to the whole book of Psalms. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. This picture talks to me of godly characteristics and fruitfulness. It's often linked to Jesus' wonderful passage where he says, "I am the true vine, you are the branches." The other key thing here is, so that's really talking and speaking to me about our placement in Christ. Because you see, dear friends, we're not given anything in relation to our performance. It's all about who we are in Jesus. As I look at this as well, I see the bit that says, who meditates on his word. And one of the meanings of meditate is speaking it out. And one of the verses that really underpin what I believe I've been called to do as prayer coordinator and leader of prayer ministry is I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And again, that's very much linked to Jesus' words on the true vine. But also it's a verse we speak out in freedom in Christ. Because as I serve, I'm very much on a journey into freedom as well. And this verse is in the security, acceptance, and significance section of Freedom in Christ, where we spend time speaking out verses to reassure us of who we are, of what Jesus has accomplished through his finished work on the cross. And that is the reason why I cannot think of the verse about being appointed and chosen to bear fruit without this other verse from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works that he has prepared in advance for me to do. Because, dear friends, I think sometimes what can happen is after we become a Christian, after we accept Jesus into our life, it's very easy to focus on all the things we potentially need to get right. But there is so much rejoicing to be done in terms of the righteousness that Jesus has obtained for us. And it's wonderful that Mark and Andrew, both in recent sermons, have focused on the importance of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I've got a bracelet I'm wearing today, and my mum treated me to this when we were on holiday, and I fell in love with it because of what it said. And it says, live as though heaven is on earth. And through worship and praising God and recognizing what he's achieved before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea that really enables me to do this. The third scripture is really, it's taken from Romans, and it's what Mark began our series on serving with. And it really captures the essence of freedom. So it talks about not copying the behavior and customs of this world. So there's very much a link there to that beginning section of Psalm 1. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And that's me to a T, folks. It captures the essence for me of what freedom for me is all about, changing the way I think. And the process I'm going to describe and use the Psalms to help explain very much links to that journey. See, I believe that fruitfulness and freedom go hand in hand. The whole aim of Freedom in Christ, and I'm eternally grateful for that course and Steve Goss and for the leadership team for really being able to have it in Gorebridge Parish operating regularly. The aim is to foster fruitfulness, but also discipleship. And I've been reading some of the works of Oswald Chambers, who was a member of the Pentecostal League of Prayer. He talks about discipleship being fruit-bearing in godly character. But we can't do that without that process of abiding and speaking out the word of God, like those security, acceptance, significant verses, to enable us to be set free and realize who we are in Christ. Faith, you see, comes by hearing. There's something very powerful about speaking these words out. I think I've said before, I love the chorus, "Create in me a clean, clean heart. You're not finished with me yet." That brings me great hope. Paul talks about this in Philippians. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership with the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who begun the good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ." So how then do the Psalms help me to put this process into words? You see, Tom Wright talks about the Psalms. He's another of my heroes. "There's nowhere, not the darkest, loneliest place on earth, that the Psalms have not been there before us. They frame a moment in time to capture our deepest longings, questions, despair, and suffering, to tell it as it is." When I was on the first Freedom to Christ course in 2012, it was a time in my life where everything imploded for me in terms of what I was doing in my work life. I experienced an overwhelming sense of anxiety and went on an extended period of sick leave that made me question everything. But Janice had a word for me from the Psalms, and it was from Psalm 138, verse 7. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life." Thank God for that word, because that spoke to me of the graciousness of God to provide words of comfort when I was stuck in a cataclysmic event. I couldn't see any way out. I couldn't think straight. I didn't want to go out. It's a common theme in the Psalms, but also that's really helped me to understand how very important it is to be able to minister to others, provide words of comfort and encouragement to them that God provides as we've prayed through prayer ministry. Because when we're stuck in the middle of that event, it's very difficult, dear friends, to see where God is. And unless we have that word of encouragement and comfort, we don't often know. But that showed me that God understood and knew what was happening to me. You'll notice at the bottom of the slide, I've put the word interlude or selah. This appears often in the Psalms, and it gives people an opportunity to pause, to stand still after they've prayed out the verses of the Psalms. So I'm just going to enable a pause now where I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to work through in us. And I'll finish off this section with a we and prayer of thanksgiving. So if you at the moment are asking questions about something that's happening in your life and want to understand where God is, I ask you now, Holy Spirit, our comforter, our helper, our advocate, to give you a word of comfort to know that God is there. Thank you, Father, that you do understand when we are utterly despondent, despairing, when nothing in life seems to make sense, when we've been hit by events or circumstances and we don't understand and we cannot feel where you are or see you. Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, I pray that you will reveal and continue to reveal words of understanding, consolation, and comfort. Amen. You see, dear friends, Jack Deere, who spoke at CLAN a few years ago, said we're living in the best of times, and absolutely following Jesus is a wonderfully exciting voyage of discovery. The words of the song, I've had the time of my life, are coming to mind. No, Andy, I'm not going to sing it out. Don't worry. Adele did that beautifully in the Hiding Under the Covers. But it also can be the worst of times as well, as we step out in faith to minister to others through things like Fun Day, through going out and praying for others as well. So we absolutely need those words of comfort and consolation. As I was saying to the children in the children's talk, Jesus, Word made flesh, lived out these words we see. Do you know what I find amazing? That these words in the Psalms appear time and time again. How frequently we experience those feelings of doubt, of anxiety. How frequently we think, oh no, I've done it again. And the very fact that these words appear time and time again is a great source of comfort for me. So Jesus lived these out. So he was a defender for the woman who was about to be stoned. He was unfailing love was the very heart of what he did on the cross. And he rescued and saved Peter. He is the light of the world. He tells us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You see, dear friends, Jesus, the living Word made flesh, is truer and better than any of the words that have been spoken over us. I like to think of that process where we discover about the Father heart of God. We see Jesus living those words, and we have the Holy Spirit to bring things to mind, to help us and comfort us as a wonderful divine triangulation. And all we mean by the word triangulation, it's commonly used in research, it's more than two sources of evidence. This process to me is irrefutable evidence of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit 3-in-1 ministering to us and helping us and enabling us to minister to others. He uses us in our brokenness. I'm so privileged that I was still able to minister to others even when I've experienced great times of difficulty in my life. That speaks to me of grace again, the graciousness of God supporting me to serve at the same time as recognizing that I'm still on the road to freedom. The Psalms also speak of present, future hope, often in the midst of great difficulty. Psalm 42 puts this into words beautifully. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You see, here the psalmist is holding on to the promises of God, even though they may not yet have come to fruition. And I believe there is a clear link between future hope and receiving a word of encouragement, a prophetic word. You see, the Psalms looked forward to the coming of Jesus, and through his life he fulfilled many of the Psalms. But you see, hope deferred, as the Proverbs tell us, makes the heart sick. And the word that was given to me on my second return to work, because I went back to work, it all imploded. I returned again facing a very uncertain future. And this word out of a prayer cell was passed on to me again from the Psalms. Psalm 16. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Graham Cook talks about this connection between future hope and a prophetic word, because what prophecy does, it connects our present with his future. He speaks to us from our future and works to develop us so that we can become aligned with our truest identity, as with the help of the Holy Spirit, we walk into that. When I went back to work, I didn't know what would happen, but I had the assurance and I had a choice to make there. Was I going to step out in faith and believe? And that very first day when I went back, an opening appeared for me so that I could go into a job that was more suited to the values and skills that I have, which I didn't realize at the time. The other thing that happened around about the same time was I went to receive a word. You have this opportunity quite often at conferences or CLAN. And the word they gave to me was from Psalm 45, verse 1. My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. And it's my great hope that by sharing words that God's given to me through prayer ministry, through teaching, that I can fill you with hope, with absolute joy as you discover the living word of God working in your life as well. This also emphasizes to me the importance of prayer as we move forward in our giftings. So those of you who have come to receive the Holy Spirit, you want to receive giftings such as prophecy, words of knowledge that are freely given, there's great opportunities as you pray and spend time abiding for those pictures, those prophetic words to start to be birthed and developed. So we're going to have another interlude here, and I want you again to close your eyes. And I want Holy Spirit to speak words of future hope to anyone here who's experiencing difficulties, so that they can hold on to this future hope in their lives. Thank you, Father, for the words of hope, your living word, Jesus, the greatest hope of the entire world and universe. And you have not left us on our own. You've given us your precious Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding, bring us words of hope and encouragement. Thank you that you have never, ever let me down and been able to speak words of encouragement to me to give me a future hope, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Amen. When our daughter was young, she had a book. It was her favorite book in the entire world. It was called The First 100 Words, and she loved it so much, she put it under a pillow every time she went to bed. And it's my great hope and a great joy to me if people feel so passionately about the precious word of God that they start to do things like that. Eric Liddell held the word he'd been given as he went to run that race and win the gold medal. He held it tightly in his hand to give him a hope as he ran. The other thing that's happened to me as I've looked at the Psalms, I've understood how God has worked in my life, even though I didn't see it at the time. And it's given me a testimony for which I can give thanks, especially helpful when times are tough. It gives me perspective, because quite often I can start to catastrophize, see worst case scenarios. It also provides encouragement to others. You see, hindsight, dear friends, doesn't work. What does help is seeing scripture that explains how God has worked in your life, even though you may not have seen it at the time. And I've suddenly realized recently that Psalm 18 explains how God worked in my life. I shared it with some friends. I'd written awesome next to it in the Bible, because he reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. One of my great biblical Old Testament heroes is Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt absolutely, he felt irresistibly compelled to share the word of God, but he encountered many difficulties. He was rescued from a mud-filled pit, up to his neck in mud. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which I have shared before, is when Jeremiah talks about his great distress when his people were taken to exile. And he was able to say after this passage, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But the word that he said immediately before that wonderful passage is, this I bring to mind, therefore I have hope. I am constantly left in awe at the amazing provision of God that provides a testimony to encourage others and also helps restore my perspective. And when I was at CLAN, I was very fortunate to get the training in relation to SOZO, which is a Christian ministry that looks at wholeness. So not only does it look at physical healing, it looks at wholeness. It's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit ministry, and we had two speakers from Bethel Church who spoke to us. And one of the stories she told us there was of her son. She's a teacher, and she was in the library, and she would often give her son, or they would speak about things in terms of subjects that he was having difficulty with, but he was getting taunted by his school friends. He came out school when she picked him up very upset. So she asked him to close his eyes, just as she does in SOZO when they do this ministry, and said, where was Jesus? And he suddenly started laughing. What did Jesus say? And he got a completely different perspective. Because Jesus was there with him at that time. He said, they're just being silly. And that gave him great comfort, being able to look back and see that Jesus was actually there as well. But dear friends, getting it out, as I've said before, is very much an ongoing process. It's only recently that I've been able to put into words some of the things I've felt when I've had these huge anxiety attacks. I think, you know, it's very helpful what Steve Goss talks about in Freedom in Christ. Thinking about following feelings may make us a bit vulnerable to attack, and recognizing emotions, because they're a barometer of our spiritual health, and we need to pay attention to them. So I've written some of what I feel. And bear with me, because it's very real to me, this. Swallowed whole, squashed, voiceless, a tidal wave of emotion. Feelings emerge to beat up self. Strands of thoughts wound tightly into a knot, too difficult to untangle or express. A picture is framed of false reality. And that describes, dear friends, how I feel in the middle of distress and anxiety. But the wonderful thing has been that when I've paid attention to it and started to put these feelings down, God has spoken the most wonderful word of encouragement. Let my people go. That is a word of hope for me, because there are still things, dear friends, that I need to be set free from. There's a fear index at the back of the Steps to Freedom and Freedom in Christ, and there's some work to be done there still. The wonderful thing is, I've started to write things down a bit more often now, and when I speak some of the things that I feel, self-doubt, immediately God gave me the word future hope. And that is a wonderful way that when you do have things that seem negative, God can restore that with a positive. You see, all those experiences I've been through, God wastes nothing. He's using that to enable me to share and minister to others. He uses us often when we're the most broken to be able to stand alongside others. The ironic thing is, as my husband will tell you, I have this irresistible urge, like Jeremiah when I received the word, I have to get it out. I have no problems. And yet being able to get out some of the feelings that I have when I'm anxious, there's still an awful lot of work there with God's help that needs to be done. The graciousness of God enabling me to serve while being set free. So again, I would like you to close your eyes. And for any of you who ever can think of a time where you have felt squashed or voiceless, to name that emotion and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal a word to speak into your situation to counter the emotion that you are experiencing. Heavenly Father, thank you that for every emotional feeling we're able to name, you can speak words of comfort and assurance to bring us hope. Thank you for the wonderful way you're helping me to get things out, to be able to free me up to bear even more fruit and minister to you. And in your precious name, amen. Psalms also provide us with prayers to pray out. We hear that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Oswald Chambers talks about how sometimes when we're looking at the Bible or reading or studying the Bible, He encourages us never to go on the line that because you don't understand it, then it's no use. A truth may be of no use to you just now, but circumstances arise in which that truth is needed. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Another word from the Psalms that was given to me was from Psalm 42. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. That's a wonderful prayer that I was able to pray out. Also, we may have a spiritual first aid kit in those moments where we don't know what to pray, a familiar verse that we know really well we can use to pray out as well. What is really wonderful and speaks to me of the graciousness of God was, I don't know the Bible from beginning to end. I know bits and I've read quite a bit of it. But when I started ministering in prayer ministry, I often got a picture or a fragment of word that I was able to then look back and see where it came in the Bible. So through that process of stepping out and using my giftings, God's revealed much more to me of his precious word. And finally, before we move into a time of prayer, I just really wanted to sum up the process and my journey of transformation as I've been serving God. And it's really in the words that Jesus himself used. So Jesus said, I am the way. So in Christ and with Christ, I am the truth. Jesus, the living word of God, sets me free. I am the life, which is living in the reality of Jesus' love to serve others.